And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is strange science. Each of my guests is describing an aspect of life that appears to many to be strange science or voodoo. My next guest is a professional sports handicapper, which means he sells betting advice to subscribers. We're going to break down the men's NCAA basketball tournament for 2011. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation or if you have a favorite team, you can call us at 639-0008. Steve Budin is one of the country's leading sports handicappers. He sells sports on his website, which is called apicknation.com, for as much as $20 per tip. Steve went to high school in Miami, where he began building an affluent client list using his charm and his street smarts. Steve had an idea for offshore betting, creating a company called SBD Global. The enterprise took off, making Steve a multi-millionaire. Steve then wanted to take his business to the internet in 1998. Unfortunately, the feds had a different idea. They stepped in, closed down his operations, and charged Steve with an old 1961 law prohibiting him from using interstate telephone lines for gambling. Steve now sells his advice on the website to people wanting to bet. Joining us from Miami, Steve's going to help us handicap the 2011 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. Welcome to the show, Steve. How are you doing?
Just a small correction. I'm actually in Las Vegas here at the epicenter of the madness. You know, I always believe, even though I live in Miami, when it's time for the big dance, you head to the dance floor, my friend.
There you go, and I love it. No better place to be than Las Vegas for this sort of thing. So this year's NCAA, Steve, it's just an enigma to me. First of all, they expanded the field to 68 teams from 65, and the expansion was designed to help more of the hold more interest, of course, and help some of what they call the bubble teams that were on the fringe getting into the tournament. Was the expansion a good idea, and in what ways is expansion helping the NCAA tournament?
Well, for me and my business, I mean, more games is better. The more games there are, the more bets there are to make. And like Charlie Sheen says, duh, winning. But for me, I thought it was interesting that, you know, they added some games. Players had to play some extra games that they didn't know they were going to play in the beginning of the season. And nobody went on strike. Nobody said, hey, that's crazy. That's slave labor. But over in the other league, in the NFL, as soon as they tried to add a game or two, oh, my God, it was slave labor. It was something that was unheard of. And you know what? I think sometimes the pros can take an example and learn a little bit from college and see about how these kids play just based on desire.
Right, the love of the game. I think that's what differentiates the college level from the professional level, without a doubt.
And that's why there'll be more bet on, you know, on the tournament than there is in the Super Bowl and the NBA Finals combined.
Well, talk to me about the money. Since you're there in Vegas, and of course money is the name of the game, how much money is going to be spent betting on the NCAA Men's Championship this year?
Yeah, well, we're talking close to $1 billion. That's with a capital B.
Wow.
And let me tell you something. That's offshore and in Vegas. This tournament will be bet on more. There'll be more bet on this tournament than any tournament in history. And it's not because there's any big superstars that everyone's dying to watch. It's because of the new staggered start, and God bless the NCAA, because on one hand, you know, they like to help to play both sides of the fence when it comes to sports betting. Out in the public, they're very much against it. But behind the scenes, they're cutting all the deals with all the television stations to make sure, just like an NFL Sunday, gamblers have plenty of time in between the waves of games to get to the window, because they know, just like you know, more bettors equals more viewers, and more viewers equals more money.
Wow, I love it. We're talking to Steve Budin, everybody. We're talking about the men's basketball tournament that is right now in process as we speak. Steve, let's look at it from the college's point of view, because colleges have a vested interest in this as well. How much money does a college basketball program receive for playing in the NCAA tournament?
Right, well, it's hard to calculate because there's the money that they make immediately. There's the money that they make, you know, in the following year, you know, but you know, and then there's the TV money over the decades, like a team like Duke, which is constantly in and around the Final Four, establishment teams, Duke, Florida, Kentucky, Kansas. These are the teams that are always close to the Final Four, and these are the teams that are going to dominate the television rights.
No, without a doubt. Steve, pundits are saying that this is one of the weakest fields of teams in NCAA tournament history. They expanded it to 68 teams, which even further dilutes the talent. Agree or disagree?
Oh, completely agree. You have a lack of multiple stars on teams. Unlike in the past, there are no UNLVs. There are no five deep teams. And going back to what we spoke about earlier off the air, I think that brings things back to coaching. I think now more than ever, handicappers are looking at coaching, making sure that their teams that reach the Final Four all have elite coaches. 19 out of the last 22 tournaments, you know, all the members of the Final Four had elite coaches that had Final Four experience. I think that's very important when you're picking your teams now, and it's because of the lack of talent or the parity or the dilution, like you said. And we'll just have to see. I think it all makes for a better tournament.
Well, now that's an interesting angle. I want to explore that a little bit more if we can, Steve. So it comes back to coaching. Of course,
right.
Duke has Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
Carolina has Roy Williams.
Yeah.
Who are some of the other elite coaches? And added into that group, because we're here in Southern California, would you include Steve Fisher down at San Diego State University?
Well, here's the thing. 8 out of the 12 top 3 seeds, the 1-2s and 3s, that's who we're really talking about, have previous Final Four experience. 4 of them don't. The teams that don't are Pittsburgh, Notre Dame, BYU, and Purdue. And the only one out of those 4 teams that I think can really go deep into this tournament is Notre Dame. And they got, Big East Player of the Year, Ben, put the ball in my hands, bro. He scores 18.5 points a game, 4 assists. He's a complete stud. And because there's no real studs, there's no multiple stars, when you got somebody like Ben, you can go as far as you can.
Well, now that's interesting, too, because the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Mike Bray, who is the head coach of Notre Dame, of
Correct.
Course, was a Mike Krzyzewski assistant coach for years,
right.
So certainly may have learned a thing or two about winning on that bench.
You really do know your stuff.
Hey, I try to keep up with my guests.
In case you're going to try to stump me.
I'm not trying to stump anything. We got to get back to this, Steve. This is great stuff. We're talking to Steve Budin, everybody. This is great stuff. Now, when you take a look at past years in the Sweet 16, there's always a Cinderella team that pops up, somebody that the whole of America really wants to root for because they probably shouldn't be there in the first place. Who do you see as being this year's Cinderella team?
Right. My personal belief is I believe in miracles, but I really never bet on them. I do have a couple of double digit seeds making the round of 16, and I have Gonzaga, which I feel as an 11 seed will be in there. Utah State, which we wanted to talk about earlier when we spoke, the 12s against the 5s.
Yes.
I think Utah State is the 12 that beats the 5 in this 20 of the last 22 years. You've had a 12 beat a 5, so it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of which one. I think that's the one. And even VCU, which really surprised me against USC, I think they could wind up in the Sweet 16 if they play their cards right.
All right, well, let's talk about VCU and USC. In my opinion, neither one of those teams should have been in the NCAA, nudging out some other very quality programs, teams with much better winning records. And let's just take our own Southern California, St. Mary's, for example, got bumped out of there. But putting that aside, let's talk about last night's game. How did VCU manage to upset, or at least on paper, upset USC?
I think that's what makes this tournament so great, is you're dealing with kids and the unpredictableness of what's going to happen when they get into high-pressure scenarios. I think VCU against USC is a blatant example of that. I look forward to this next game, VCU-Georgetown. Everyone's going to be all over Georgetown, not because of the team they have this year, but because of the memory and the name and the branding that Georgetown brings to the table. But I think they're ripe for VCU to run through them.
Oh, that'll be interesting, and I'll take the other side of that bet. But let's talk about
big on that.
It takes two to make a bet. That's what I'm talking about with Steve Budin.
But if they always had two, they wouldn't need a bookmaker.
That is true, too. Let's talk about some of those important 5-12 splits, meaning a number 5 seed playing a number 12 seed, and also, I think, equally important, the 7-10 splits. And I'm just going to throw some games out at you. 7-10 split that impacts a team here in Southern California, UCLA number 7 versus Michigan State number 10. Michigan State has been to the Final Four, 4 out of the last 5 years.
That's right.
And they're a number 10 seed. Who's ripe for the pick in there?
And you hit the nail right on the head there, made it easy, because I've got every other number 7 advancing, but I've got Michigan State beating UCLA. Experience is the key in this one. UCLA, just not what they're advertised to be. Again, a great program historically throughout the years. But as far as today goes, they got their hands full and Michigan State runs through them.
All right. I would have to agree with you on that one. Another 7-10 split, Temple versus Penn State. You've already given away the answer. You like Temple in this matchup. But why? Penn State coming out of the more competitive league there. And Temple has been shown, if you shut down their outside shooting, they can't make the grade. So why do you think that Temple's going to prevail?
Right. It comes down to one thing and one thing only, and that's tired legs. You know, Penn State, 4 games in 4 days. No, they had a few days off since then, but everybody thinks that gives a team momentum. To me, that just makes them tired. You know, you picked a good game because now you're going to save all your listeners about $90 because I got a 50-dime monster play thing, and it's on Temple, and now everybody gets it for free. And just so everybody knows, I've hit 6 out of my only 7 50-dime plays. That's my second biggest play that I can possibly release. Today comes 7 out of 8. Now everybody that's listening gets that for free. Temple minus the 2.5 points.
Oh, thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. We're talking to Steve Budin.
Winning
is all what it's all about. Now let's talk about another matchup, which probably won't get the headlines anywhere except in our little county of Ventura County and Santa Barbara County. That is number 2 Florida versus number 15 UC Santa Barbara, who made it in by virtue of winning their tournament. Who do you like in that one, and why?
Well, not only do I like Florida, I like Florida to make it to the Final Four. UC Santa Barbara, great program, over exceeded expectations this year, but they don't belong in a game with Florida. We're talking about two different programs going two different directions.
Well, that's interesting, and it brings me to another one of my questions, more of a general nature, Steve, and that is this. There were some teams picked very, very high in the ladder this year. How many teams do you think were overseeded in the ladder, and how many were underseeded in the ladder this year?
It's a good question, and you know what? There's always going to be mistakes made. This year, I think as far as the top seeds go, outside of Pittsburgh, I think they definitely got it right. But again, a playoff system would always be better. Everyone seems to be pushing for it, but this is what we've got. And the greatest thing about the tournament is that regardless of the seeds, everyone's got to win 6 games to get to the champion, to win this thing. And you don't see anywhere else in sports. In sports betting, this concentration of betting, this is really separates the men from the boys. You see the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl, it's really a sad event. I mean, it's the last dance. It's the final bet you're going to make for a long time. So so much so you're so distraught that you're willing to make all these Mickey Mouse bets and bet all these different props, where this is a different thing. March Madness is not that. March Madness is 3 straight weeks of solid action, day in, day out. It's definitely not something for the meek. You got to bring your A game, and that's why I love it.
I do, too. We're talking to Steve Budin. PickNation.com is his site. We're talking about the NCAA Men's Championship. Let's turn our attention to the Western Division. Number 2 seed out west is San Diego State University. Even though we live here in Southern California, many people don't know why SDSU is such a powerhouse. Break it down for us, will you, Steve?
I'm 32-2. I mean, they don't lose. this is a team that I feel gets all the way to the Sweet 16, but they're going to face UConn in the Sweet 16, and while UConn's going to be tired, true, I think UConn has enough to edge out San Diego State. I think UConn winds up in the Elite 8 and then gets beat by Duke.
All right. Well, that's an interesting prediction and, of course, one that is close to my heart. Talk to me, though, about San Diego State University. Yeah, 32-2, but it's in a cupcake league. Who did they play that was in the top RPI rankings that would be a team of note?
Well, what teams are there that are teams of note in general? Who are they going to play in this tournament that's really a team of note? I mean, that's the whole thing about this tournament is that I think you just have to be a winner because there's not those teams that really make you cringe that when you look at, you're figuring are hard to defend. Teams have one star and one star only, and very few teams are coming in with 2, 3, 4 deep. So I think that the 32-2 record is a lot better than what it may look like in the details because at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to be facing anybody until they face UConn.
All right, Steve. Now let's turn our attention to another side, the New Orleans bracket over there, St. John's and Gonzaga. You've already alluded to this one. You don't like the Johnnies in this?
I'm an East Coast player. I'm a New Yorker. I love the fact that basketball is back in the city with St. John's and the Knicks, actually. But, listen, let's be realistic. They're missing their top player. That's going to affect them. You can't pretend it's not. And I think they're out in the first round here. I think that overall the program is back. We can look for great things to come. They're going to have a great time recruiting next year. but it's just not in the cards for them this year. Not in that crazy division that they've been putting.
All right, fair enough. Why did I pick the St. John's connection there? You know it, but maybe some of our listeners don't. The coach over at St. John's, of course, is Steve Lavin, former coach of the UCLA Bruins, who had quite a winning record there in Bruins, despite the bad rap that he's got. Let me give you another pairing that is very equal and very interesting to me. That's number 8 Michigan versus number 9 Tennessee. Who do you like coming out of that pairing?
I'm going to have to roll with Michigan there. You know, I just think they're going to, you know, I just, you know, and sometimes, you know, you look at these plays and some of them are, you know, you have an exact reason for, and some of them are just something in your gut that says, hey, this is the right squad. And you can't always quantify it in words and you can't always explain it, but I think in this business, more than any other business, your gut is what's most important. And in this one, Michigan's my gut.
You like Michigan in your gut. You don't like the winning team that Bruce Pearl has put together despite his suspension?
Everybody's on that side. And can everybody be right?
No, of course not. All right, that's why it takes two to make a bet, and I think that that's good. All right, we're talking to Steve Budin, and his website is picknation.com. We're talking about the NCAA men's basketball tournament. This is where the rubber meets the road. Give me your Elite Eight for this year's tournament.
Here's the Elite Eight. Starting in the East, we got Kentucky and Syracuse. Again, a nice throwback establishment, you know, Elite Eight. There.
Very traditional.
Duke and UConn. Kansas and Notre Dame, Pittsburgh and Florida. We take it down to the Final Four, and my Final Four is Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, and Florida. My championship is Duke and Kansas. It's a throwback championship, like I said, emphasis on coaching, establishment basketball. I think Duke wins it, not because they have the best team that they've had in the last 10 years, not because they're so much better than everybody else from a talent standpoint like they've always been, but it's because of everybody else just being not as good, just because everybody else doesn't have the star power, doesn't have the game that they know that's really it's taken to beat Duke in the past. I think Duke brings it here. I think they've got the easiest trip that they've had in the last 10 years.
Well, now my listeners know that that's music to my heart because I am a Duke fan, have been for a number of years, even during the lean years. But I've got to take umbrage with you. You've got Kentucky versus Duke there. That means Kentucky's got to get by Ohio State, which is the number one seed overall. A winning coach in Thad Matta. How do you justify Kentucky pulling the upset there?
Got to take some shots in this thing. You know, you want to fill out the same bracket as everybody else, you're going to share the pool with them. At the end of the day, you got to look for places that you think you know, you think you can gain an advantage, and that's going to put you ahead of the next guy, you know, in your bracket. So I think, look, you know, is that game up in the air, Ohio State, Kentucky? Can anyone win? Yes. But anyone could win, so give me Kentucky.
There you go. We're talking to Steve Budin. Steve, you really bring the energy. If people are excited not only about what they hear, but they want to learn more about you, learn more about your services, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, it's a great day to go to PickNation.com because today you can take part, you know, in the All Access Pass where you can get all 12 of our handicappers absolutely free, get all their picks, you know, get all their analysis, you know, build your bankroll so that come mid-tournament, we got plenty of money so we can stick it to your man.
There you go. Steve, you're an absolute delight as a radio guest. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming on the Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, my man.
Thank you. Take care.
Don't get him today.